And I want to take my time so you understand this. You can have an anointing to declare the business of God, but the anointing inside of you is gone. And you've got to be very, very careful, because not because you see someone doing the work, it doesn't mean that they themselves are ready. And that is frightening, very frightening. The devil can shift your anointing and dismantle what he wants to move on when the anointing on the outside is operating. But when you have the anointing on the inside, you bring it back. So for those who do not understand why it is necessary to live a certain way, you will understand that tonight. Minister Edwards came to the office. Rev was on his way. And as I sat there, the Holy Ghost said to me, and it's a good thing I spoke out loud. The Holy Ghost said to me, protect yourself. And I felt the raw power of God on me to the place where I began to move in the anointing. And before long, the manifestation came, something I've never seen. We prayed. The God moved me to pray in tongues. Very interesting. And when it happened, because that's something that you get me in very often, because I've seen a lot of fanatic spirit working, especially when it comes in this area. I have friends in Africa, oftentimes they would stand up at a church and say, listen to this. Now you tell me how this makes sense. But anytime you move under the anointing in the Spirit of God and you have been moved to a place of tongues, there must be a manifestation, an interpretation, or a general witness that follows. So as we moved, what came minutes after was shocking. Rev, you have that demonic force for me? When it came, then I realized the Holy Ghost is mad with this church. Mad. Let me do that. Hold on. Let me do that again. The Holy Ghost is mad for this church. The devil is mad with this church. God will open and has opened us to a fresh anointing that it is almost unbelievable. This is the full manifestation of a demon. Just hold it up right where you are. Stay right where you are. And it came in. Minutes after God said, protect yourself. Never seen that before. And when we began deep in the Holy Ghost, the Lord said, this spirit came from Astria for our destruction. But tonight, I will tell you, so you'll understand how this happened. It will go back with what it came with, but for those who have declared and have allowed this to manifest, the power of God is going to knock them down the minute it is let go. Go let it go. Don't play with the house of God. Tonight we're going to be looking at the gifts. And I do believe that you come here tonight and you will not leave here the same way you came. Amen? You come to top up. You come to fill up. You come to get what God has for you. It's frightening when you get into the nitty-gritty of these things, because people can move in so many different ways under the wrong spirit. The gifts. We're going to looking at our theme scripture tonight, 1 Corinthians 12:7-12. Put it on the board for me, and I do believe that we might be having some CDs tonight, Brother CJ. Please, thank you very much, because I have four requests. These people are not here, but they need these CDs. Let's read together, everybody. For the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of what? Knowledge. That's two, by the same Spirit. To another, faith. Three, by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing, by the same Spirit. Four, to another, working of miracles. Five, by the same Spirit. To another, prophecy. Six, to another, what? Discerning of spirit. And to another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. And 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members are of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Praise God. I want you to understand, therefore, that it is very interesting how people take this scripture lightly and walk away from the authority that you have. I want you to understand tonight that you have power, authority unmatched. Doesn't matter how Satan thinks he's good. If you're standing in the right place, you have an authority unmatched. Praise God. The gifts are first to be demonstrated in its right context by the believers. Unbelievers do carry gifts, but when it comes on to the right context of manifestation, it is for the believers. We see a little peek of that in Mark 16 and verse 17. All these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. I want you to take time and understand this tonight, believers. Please understand this. For one to cast out devils and to be able to relate to the manifestation of casting out devils, all nine gifts are employed. I want you to understand that. Satan knows how to twist situation and circumstances to bring a gift in challenge. But the believer has the authority to demonstrate a full manifestation, and it does not matter which level the enemy comes from. For example, you might have to prophesy in one of the four levels of prophecy so that the devil understand that he cannot mess with your authority. You might have to speak in one of the tongues so that the devil understand that he cannot twist you. We're going to open tonight so you understand where this is. There are nine gifts, and these gifts are broken down into three categories. Number one, There are three gifts that comes by revelation. They are the revelatory gifts. That is, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of the spirit. These come by revelation. And then there are the vocal gifts, which are the gifts of tongues, very interesting, the gifts of prophecy. I want to make somebody understand tonight, and the interpretation of tongues. Gifts of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and the gifts of prophecy. These are vocal gifts. And then there's the power gifts, which are the gift of faith, the gift of healing, and the gift of miracle. My place tonight is to try for everybody to get a real good sense of all the gifts of the Spirit. The gift of revelation, or the revelatory gift. And the first one we're going to be looking at is the word of wisdom. What is the word of wisdom? The word of wisdom is a given application for a particular situation directly from God. In other words, this is a word given to you from God to address a particular situation at that time. The word of wisdom will require a godly life in order to reproduce and rightly divide the word given to address the situation. In other words, somebody who lives out there in sin and wants to live in sin, it's going to be hard for the Holy Ghost to give you a word of wisdom and for you to be able to articulate that so that it addresses the problem when needed. God is going to give somebody who's walking right the preeminence to divulge this gift, because that person is right. Understand this. All the gifts comes through prayer. Prayer enhances the ability for the gifts to work. We see that in the book of Ephesians 1. Cease not, 1, 16 and 17, if you want the appropriate scripture. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention in your prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Anytime you realize that there is a demand on you, and most of you as Christians, if you're walking right, somewhere or the other, you don't choose this, but God chooses you for this. You are going to be required to give a word of wisdom in some situation or the other. Please note, it is very imperative for a believer to walk consistently in prayer. Why? The Bible said the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Availing much is giving you the substance needed for the manifestation of such gift. So the word of wisdom is really the Holy Spirit allowing a supernatural manifestation in the form of a word for the addressing of a particular situation or circumstance as needed. That's what it is. It is the Holy Ghost allowing the supernatural manifestation in the form of a word for a particular situation or circumstance as needed. In other words, you don't have the answers. Most times when people come to me and they sit with me, God already given me the word. But when they come, I do seek his divine presence in prayer so that there be no contamination. And you're going to understand later how the gift of prophecy, the gift of diverse tongues, interpreting tongues, is uniquely different from all the other gifts. No wonder that Paul said, I wish that all of you speak in tongues. But above that, I wish that you do what? Prophesy. There's a unique difference. Again, if this is the only thing you want to make sure you catch before you get the CD, now I wouldn't want to miss a CD, to be honest with you. In fact, I need one for myself. Make that five. The word of wisdom is the Holy Spirit allowing a supernatural manifestation of facts in the form of a word to a particular circumstance or situation as desired. Example, Jesus himself, Matthew 4:3-7. And the tempter came to Jesus, and when he began to tempt him and give him all sorts of stories, if thou be the Son of God, make this stone become bread. Cast thyself down from this place. Your God will give charge, angels charge over you. He gave a word of wisdom. What was the word? It is written. It is written. And from there on, he was released to different variations of the word, of the gift of the word of wisdom. Man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not worship no other God. And all of this, it is written. So the first place it start with was whom? God. It is written. A manifested supernatural power in the form of word. So by now you would have realized that revelation is really needed for the word of wisdom to be administered. That's why it comes under the topic of the revelatory gifts. Revelation is really needed for the administration of this gift. As a matter of fact, to be honest with you, revelation is really needed for the nine to be administered. Then we have number two, the word of knowledge. I'm trying to see how much I can get through tonight. The word of knowledge. What is the word of knowledge? It is an inner witness breathed on us by the Holy Spirit. An inner witness breathed on us by the Holy Spirit. In one place of the Bible, the word of God declares this as similitudes. Really and truly, it's an inner impression of the Holy Spirit that you and I cannot fathom. For example, word of knowledge. You're driving down the road and hit you is the knowledge that you should turn right. And you turn right. And a lot of people never ever get a chance to see what would have happened had they not yield to the word of knowledge. You turn right. What did you miss? An accident. Let's look for a second on the book of Romans 8 and verse 16. The Spirit itself breathed witness in our spirit that we are the children of God. Where is the knowledge in that? Here's the knowledge in that. How do you know that you are saved? A lot of people declare Jesus Christ died for my sins, rose from the grave, blah, 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 all of it. But how do you know that you're saved? It is an inner impression in your spirit, released by the Holy Spirit, that you're not the old man. Get it?
And so once God gives you a word of knowledge, it sustains you. That word of knowledge sustains you. It's very powerful. That's why it's a revelatory gift. It sustains you. He gives you a word of knowledge that you don't have to worry anymore. For I am with you always. You don't know that. You don't wake up every morning and see Christ sitting down beside you. No. You don't wake up every morning and see grace beside you. No. You don't wake up every morning and see wisdom beside you. No. Or mercy beside you. No. But through a word of knowledge, you understand that grace is with you. You understand that mercy is on your side. You understand that no matter what the enemy comes with, you're not the tail, but you're the head. You understand that you're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It comes through the word of knowledge. And so I can stand and I can tell the devil, whatever God allows me to know about my future must come to pass. Why? Because I am saved. Anytime you get this, it will change your life forever. An inner witness that testifies to the word of God. Release in your spirit. And the mere mind can never fathom it. So don't even try. This is very interesting. The word of knowledge. Whereas the word of wisdom is a supernatural manifestation addressing the current situation that brings facts to the table. The word of wisdom is usually leveled in the mouths of prophets. Take your time. If we look at Hosea 12 and verse 10, put it on the board for me. I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have what? Multiplied visions and use similitudes. Again, an impression of the Holy Spirit by the ministry of the prophets. No prophet operates without the word of wisdom. Why? Anytime the spirit of prophecy or the gift of prophecy is in operation, it clearly stands on the platforms of the when, the why, and the how. God will give you a word, but the word is not for today. The word is for tomorrow. He pressed that in your spirit by his spirit, and he restrains you from speaking today. Here is false prophet. False prophet goes, and a lot of people get in trouble with this. And they said, the Lord says, and they begin to talk when the Lord says not. So the word of wisdom more operates in the mouths of prophets. And God say, multiplied visions and use impressions in his ministry. Word of wisdom. Acts 5:3. And everybody knows this very well, how Peter through the Holy Spirit spoke to Ananias and Sapphira. Why did Satan fill your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Again, it was the Holy Spirit that pressed into Peter's spirit that a lie was told to him. They kept back a part of the money for the land they sold. So we can conclude then that the word of knowledge is the addressing of any situation by a specific divine information. While for the word of wisdom, it is a word spoken. For the word of knowledge, it is a divine impression given. And at that time you seek for the how, the when, the why. And then the third revelatory gift is the discerning of spirit. And this is very interesting because there are more false entities in church as it concerns discerning of spirit than there's anything else. No, never let nobody come to you and tell you, God says, I think God says something, but I'm not sure. God says it's going to happen, but I don't know when. God does not give any half a message. Somebody come up short. The word, the discerning of spirit, which is the third revelatory gift, is to conclude on the spirit behind the manifestation. To conclude on the spirit behind every manifestation. So you see somebody operating in a certain way. We were at a former church and there was a young brother who came in the ministry and got filled with the Holy Spirit. And he began to bark like a dog in a very harsh way. I have an overhead at that time, so I was limited to my move. But when the Spirit of God moves, you need to understand that He will move you into function that will make you in an orderly way operate in submission and respect. So I said, sir, he said, oh, this is a demon. Wasn't embarrassing, wasn't overpowering, wasn't prideful. Honestly, humbly says, sir, we got to be careful. We don't determine how the Holy Ghost manifests. Right away, the Holy Ghost would have him to be humbled. Why? Because there was no pride in me. There was no self at work. It was simply the Holy Ghost wanting him to know that you don't know everything about how I work. And so he humbled, and today this young man is one out of how many that is still holding the gospel. The manifestation of the Spirit of God will release to you at the appropriate time that it is I who is behind this work. So to be effective in keeping this alive, after you've been born of the Spirit, you must focus on three primary areas. One, you must focus on the purpose in which you try, let me take the word try, in which you discern. You don't go up there and discern because you want to show others that you're a discerner. And it happens so many times in churches. You must focus on the purpose of your operation. Number two, you must focus on your identity. Who am I? My identity at that time told me that, listen, although I'm giving you that I'm behind the manifestation, don't forget you must be in submission. And then you must focus on God's agenda. When I have discerned the spirit behind the activity, am I now given the authority to kill or to retain life? Because when a lot of people come up here and tell me, oh, God say you just done thief, and they bring you to a place of no recovery. No, there are two ways to look at this. You can be so prideful that when God talks to you in a situation, you take it the wrong way and so you kill yourself. I had a situation the other day. I'm not sure, I think Deacon Reed, we came early one morning. And that situation that crept upon me,
And to be honest with you, when I got the phone call and the answer that came from the other end of the line, I was so shocked I didn't know what to do. Right away, the Holy Ghost humbled me and reminded me, it's not your duty to put any man to death. So in words of loving kindness, I had to discipline. The gift of the discerning of the Spirit leans on an individual following Jesus Christ wherever he says you should go. Whether you understand it or not. Sometimes you will discern, God will allow you to discern a certain situation. But because of timidity or fear, you will choose not to go. Now I can tell you one thing about that. If this is how you're going to operate, you will soon lose the administration of that gift by the Holy Ghost. Wherever God leads you, he's ready to protect you. I've seen people get to the place that a pastor would say to you, okay, we're going to lay hands now. And pride, you tell yourself, oh, I cannot lay hands. You're going to be in trouble. Whether you like it or not, if God leads your life, he will keep your life. Whether it is in your identity, yes or no, to do such, as long as God is at the head, he gives you the Spirit to move on command. A lot of times, the things that God would have allowed me to do, it doesn't fit my agenda. That's the truth. It takes me outside of my character. But because of the spirit of humility that rests upon the gifts, I have to obey. You will not always understand the things that happen, but the gift of discerning will bring you to a spiritual manifestation, so an acceptance is ready. For example, take us to the book of Acts 10, where Cornelius and Peter had a thing going. According to Peter's teaching, the teaching at that time, the Gentiles would not have been in a place to have accepted the Spirit of Christ moving in any manifesting way. Cornelius was on one side. And if you read through that when you get home, you would have realized that Cornelius had a dream. And the dream he had, the Holy Ghost sent him to Peter. We're going to look at verse 4 quickly of Acts 10. It says, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. I want you to take your time when you go home and you read through this whole Acts 10. Arise therefore, verse 20, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now Cornelius sent these men over to Peter. And God gave Peter a dream that this thing was happening. And so he said, Peter, come on, arise and go with them, for it is I, God, at work. Verse 46, I chop it up for you to give you the root. And when Peter went, according to the teaching, Peter should have, and I wouldn't blame him, if he had rejected and denounced Cornelius. Because that was the teaching they had. But look what happened in verse 46. For they heard, 20 said, go down, doubting nothing, for I sent them.
Verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter said, 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? He discerned the Spirit at work and realize it doesn't matter how you think about somebody else. God might not have the same mindset about the person. That's why when you write some people off, God might just write them on. And when you write some people on, God might write them off long time. And don't you play jokes. If God writes you off, you're well written off. He wrote off Saul, and when David got over there he spoke. He said, listen, I will now not do you as the one that was before. He refused to call Saul's name. God refused to call. He forget him. So you have to be very careful that when you sit down to the business of God and decides to operate under the gifts, that you don't kill the people of God. Peter discerned the human spirit at work in Simon the sorcerer. Acts 8, 18 to 23. I want you to put that one on the board for me. Very interesting. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. 19, saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, they may receive the Holy Ghost. Now watch this for a second. What Simon the sorcerer wanted was not something bad. He wanted people to receive the Holy Ghost. But he went about it the demonic way. Tell somebody beside you, you can't pay money for the operating of these gifts. Come on. Paul again discerned the evil spirit working in this woman in Acts 16, 16 to 19. I'm going to show you something that's going to mess you up now. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, young lady, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying she would bring in good revenue. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which shew us unto us the way to salvation. What this damsel was saying was the truth. Not because something is the truth, it doesn't mean it is godly. They had to rebuke the spirit that was at work, though the truth was being told. Gets you a little bit scared now, eh? You have to understand that the power of the Spirit of God for the manifestation of the gifts of God are maintained by prayer and fasting and the Word of God. Anywhere there's prayer, anywhere there's fasting, anywhere there's the Word of God, there is an increase in the manifestation of the Spirit of God in the gifts. So don't believe because you see something and it's moving in a certain way that releases what looks like power, it means God it is it, isn't it? Then we have the gifts that comes through vocal abilities.
vocal gifts. The first one is tongues. There's no doubt here that our God is so unique in everything he does. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 and 14:22, I want you to take your time and mellow this in your spirit. Let's read together. Wherefore tongues are for what? Sign. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. Understand, there's a huge thing happening here. When we observe the manifestation of the Holy Spirit giving the gifts to these people, it was uniquely penned, and he gave some diverse kind of tongues, not tongue. Diverse kinds of tongues, not tongue. Please note that what you have just read is in the plural form, tongues, not the singular form, tongue, which suggests that there are more than one tongues. The first tongue is seen in the book of Acts 2:4, where God told his people, go up to this house. But there was a demand in the gathering. You should all be in one on one accord, in one spirit. And the Bible says they were all filled with what? The Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues. And the Spirit gave them utterance. This was done in the presence of over 120 people, so much so that when it was noise abroad, multitude came together and were confounded. Why? Because every man heard them speak in his own language. This tongue was a tongue that was evident in the eyes of the unbeliever, and it was also understood. Every man heard them speak in their own language. It was understood. Then the second tongues we're going to see in the book of 1 Corinthians 4:2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. The second tongues is a tongue directly related to the mysteries of God. This is dealt with in prayer and is not understood, probably not even by the person who speaks it. We're going to get deep, but you're going to prove them. And so the third one, 1 Corinthians 14:26-28, put it on the board for me. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue. Now this is singular. Hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all be done unto edifying.
Continue now. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let him speak, let it be by two. Or at the most by three. And that by course. And let one interpret. So now we are dealing with a tongue where two or three persons gets the knowledge from the Holy Ghost. And where there's one who has not spoken is able to interpret. Why? Because there's one Spirit. But if there's no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. So if I look at this, then there's a unique difference here. This is where two or three of the most will publicly be impacted in the church with an interpretation. This is more like one and two tongues combined. But notice, it doesn't get to the place where everybody is speaking in tongues without any kind of understanding. It's barbaric. Wait! Because I've just said something that would hint your mind. I'm going to tear down that later on, biblically. So we are at number one, which is what? Tongues. Now, if we understood what just happened a while ago, we are now moved into number two, which is the interpretation of tongues. Again, not the interpretation of singular, but the interpretation of the plural. Aye. Touch somebody beside you and tell them, there is no tongue above the Holy Ghost. This gift is unique in every sense. And like every other spiritual gift, it comes through serious prayer. This gift is the abundance of authority, listen please, and mystery that is handed down to us divinely to those who have already exhibited the gift of tongues. The gift to interpret tongues is not for anybody who has not spoken in tongues. Can I say that again? The gift to interpret tongues is for nobody who has not spoken in tongues. We're going to get to the real nitty-gritty. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown singular tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. In other words, this, the third tongue, is the mystery of God. And he that speaketh in this mystery speaks to God and not to men. Well, the word of God further gives us a clear knowledge that the gift, literally, this gift, literally answers to Christians who must pray for the interpretation because they have already entered into the zone of spiritual mystery by speaking in tongues. It is by mystery that you speak in tongues. One of the tongue where you speak in, you're speaking unto God and not unto man. So it is a mysterious move of the Holy Ghost for a purpose. I'm going to take my time to bite this big for you. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he, what? May interpret. The Bible is clear. Even though you speak in tongues, you don't must interpret. But the Bible says for you to interpret, you have to be a speaker of tongues. Let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray. In other words, you are already open to the mysteries of the Spirit of God. It is for you to pray for a divine unction to come upon you so that you interpret. Now, if I ever hear what is happening here, what I'm hearing is that those who speak in tongues and are not able to interpret are lazy. Sister Sophie, don't let me come for you. When you get to the place, a lot of Christians get to this place and just lull. And then the devil just creeps in and says, oh, you think it's over? Just like a lot of people get to the place, they walk in and they say, Jesus Christ is my Savior, Lord. I believe that he died for me. He rose from the grave. Come under your blood. You're in heaven and you're interceding. And they live their life after that. Don't care. And so the enemy is able to walk in and destroy them. You never rest when you become a child of God. Pray without ceasing. Fast. Read the word of God. He empowers you as you go along. He that not speak it in an unknown tongue should speak for the spirit of interpretation. Why? Because after praying in an unknown tongue, our spirit gets convicted. I'm taking my time. People, please, this is important. After you've prayed in an unknown tongue, your spirit gets convicted of the things that the Holy Ghost has for you. Now, the things that the Holy Ghost has for you is going to be wrestled against by the devil. You are speaking in an unknown tongue. You're already in the zone of mystery. What is the zone of mystery? This is the zone where you're not capable for something, but by his grace you have it. This is the zone where you should have been convicted and dead for what you did, but by mercy you are set free. And so you're in a mysterious zone. Don't sit down. Pray for interpretation. We're going to find out why. The Holy Ghost has things that he shuts away from your life. Things that the devil has opened to you. So your children crash. So your wife take drugs. So you go to a prostitute and end up with AIDS. Whatever. But in tongues, he released the mystery. And he says to you now, get in line. Seek for interpretation so you understand what I'm doing. First Corinthians 14, 14. I want you to look seriously on this one. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, what happened? Come on, everybody, what happened? My spirit pray. But what? My understanding is unfruitful. That's the second tongue way. You're praying, but you don't understand what you're praying for. It's your spirit that prays. Uh-huh. Guess what? That's one level. That's one level. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. I bear nothing because I pray in tongue. I don't understand one thing that I've said. Nothing is wrong with that. But didn't the Bible just tell us that if we pray in tongues, if we speak in tongues, we should pray for what? Well, God's word is not confusing. Now, a lot of you begin to look at yourself and say, my God, I'm nowhere. You need to understand exactly what God is saying to you. What he's saying is, you don't live in a spiritual world. You live in a natural world where there are so many spiritual iniquitous activity aligned with your operations and ready to kill you. where the supernatural enters into your world and messes you up. And so God is encouraging you now to pray. Not just in the spirit, but with understanding. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. Everything I do, I have scripture for it. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. This is why praying in the spirit will require praying in understanding. Hold on. Did you realize that you've just moved from level 1 to level 3? Here's level 1. You pray in tongues. And somebody else interpret. Because that person has already prayed in tongues and pray for the spirit of interpretation. Did you get that? Second level. You pray in tongues, you got interpretation. Now you got the knowledge, so you begin to pray for what? Interpretation. Then here is number 3. You pray in tongues, but now you're praying for with understanding. Not for understanding. That catches us today. Not for understanding, but with understanding. Why? Because understanding will only come by the Spirit of God, which you're already in, or He is in you. I don't want to run over your head. So hear this. Romans 8, 26 and verse 27, just kill it. Likewise, the Spirit also help our infirmities. You're in a predicament when you're in a situation where you begin to pray in tongues and not able to understand. You're in a predicament. You're in a predicament if there's no interpreter around. Because God could well be releasing what you're asking for, but you cannot get it because you're not praying with understanding. So here's what God says now. Very interesting. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our situations, our circumstances, whatever we're going through. For we know not what we ought to pray for as we ought. Of course we know not. If you knew, you would have already been praying for the spirit of interpretation to come. So you really don't know. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings and moanings. Groanings and moanings. This is always what I always say. With groanings which cannot be uttered. Hello? I want to knock verse 27 before I break it down for you. Let's read together. And he that searcheth, because you will never get 26 without you get 27. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So if you thought earlier on what I said was dummy, here is it again. Speaking in tongues belongs to God people for it to be manifested. What Paul just says, let me break it down for you. Here's what he says. Because we are limited in knowledge, when you begin to pray, it jumpstarts your spirit. Take your time. Those who have lawnmowers, let me see your hand. I know you have some of you never use. Those who've used lawnmowers, let me see your hands. Here's what happened. There's a time when the engine gets cold, and for it to start, you have to what we call prime the lawnmower. So there's a button that you continue. What it does, it sucks the adequate, right amount of gas, leaves it in the chamber. So when an ignition takes place, it kickstarts. That's what goes on here. When you begin to pray, you don't know what's going on in the realm of the spirit. You kickstart your spirit. And when you kickstart your spirit, Paul says, get me back to 26. Paul says now, once you've kickstart your spirit, the Holy Ghost comes in. Why? Because God is a spirit. So all that you're going through, no matter how bad it is, if you've not gotten to a place to kickstart your spirit, to be really serious with God, to be really down and out, that's why some of the most intense moments with God are your bad moments. Because you get real with God when people tell lie on you and you're going to prison. When you've done something wrong and you know that you're wrong, but you need mercy and grace on your side, you get real with God. And so you kickstart your spirit. What a God. What a marvelous, merciful God. He knew what he knew, but he still come. You kickstart your spirit and he comes. And the Bible says, he helpeth your infirmities. Why? Because you know not what you're doing. And so, he maketh intercession. Why do you moan and groan? Here's why. Why do you groan? Here's why. When your spirit is kickstarted and you're going now, you're at that place now where you can lock in and on with the Holy Ghost, you're no longer in your natural self. Remember, let me do this again. Remember, God is a spirit. For you to connect with God so that he understands your circumstance and your situation, so that he sends his holy angels to encamp round about you because of your petition, so that he gives you what you need, not because you deserve it, but because he's God. Your spirit is kickstarted and you're going to mesh with the Holy Ghost. You're no longer you. And so you cannot even talk anymore. All you can do is groan. And it cannot be understood by your normal self. Didn't done there, 27. Once that has happened, well, how did God get to your business? Because it is the Spirit of God that searcheth your heart. And your spirit and knows what is in the mind. Why does he make intercession for you? The Holy Ghost now knows what your problem is. He knows what your circumstances are. He knows what you're petitioning from because your spirit now connects with the Holy Ghost. And so he petitions for you. Why? Because he, the Holy Ghost, also knows the will of God for you. That's why you must be careful. You might not say it from your mouth, but your spirit is locked onto some ungodly things, some wicked things, some idiotic things, and you think you can pray through. You're a liar. The Holy Ghost will not connect with you in lying. He needs truth. Transparency. Yes, I know I'm a murderer. But I'm begging for grace. I'm begging for mercy. Help me, God. Then he comes. Don't go to him and, Lord, you know, I'm not as bad as they say. He knows the will for you. So he says then, after you've prayed in the spirit, we must also pray with understanding. Why? I was in the office today and he released the man to me. Why? One of two things. When you pray in the spirit, what God does
is release a protection. Because now you're going to connect with the Spirit. You've been kickstarted, and you're going to connect with this Holy Spirit. He released a protection over you. So Satan now, as much as he had you to commit your wickedness, now you're opening up to God, and you're crying for grace and mercy on your side. He opens to you a protective shield, a barrier around you. Did not the scripture say the angels of the Lord encampeth round about them? This is an inheritance to them who love God. Well, that's what it is. He placed a barrier around. Did not the devil say about God, how do you expect Job not to worship you when you place an edge around him? This is what it is. He placed a barrier around you. And once you begin to pray in the Spirit and connects with him, you begin to make intercession. He begins to make intercession on your behalf. Let me help you here. Satan cannot touch you at that time. And what you pray for, God will release. And what you want, he will give. But you have to be in the Spirit, because anything that God has for you, it's coming through the Holy Ghost. And so as you pray now, here's what, because a lot of people, you'll never understand this before. As you pray now in tongues, don't you ever pray in tongues and walk away. A lot of people, I hear them say, Lord, let the mind of Christ be in me. Well, get this. The mind of Christ can never be in you and you don't pray in tongues. So when you're finished, and you hear all of that ripping up inside of you, when you're finished, you are at that place. God shields the devil from you. Just begin to talk. Because anything that comes out of your mouth from there on comes from the Holy Ghost. So you're prayed in the Spirit, prayed in tongues, and then you begin to talk. Is it that you're giving thanks for what he has already broken? What he has protected you for? Or you are getting from him directive as to how, who, why, when, and where. He shields you. Vocal gifts. He wants you to come before him and he wants you to make petition to him, but you don't go to him, Lord, help me, and you're in the flesh. He cannot hear you. He knoweth no man after what? So your spirit has got to be kickstarted. How do you kickstart your spirit? The word of God. Prayer. Fasting. He says the word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. The word will guide you to where God wants you to go. Kickstart your spirit. He says it's the Spirit of God that quickens you from dead works. This is where grace is seen in abundance. He cannot look at your sin. He cannot touch your sin. But grace allows him to allow you to use the power of his Holy Spirit to kickstart your spirit so that you can be fully engulfed by his Spirit so that he can redeem, retract, and help you. So now when you begin to pray and you're praying and you hear that Holy Ghost rolling out to you, don't be afraid. You hear that spirit, that tongue's coming out of you. Let it flow. I don't hear you. I said, let it flow. Let it flow. God has designed that path to petition on your behalf, to release for you the things you need. And when you're done, don't be afraid to speak. You will be amazed to know what comes out of your mouth. Because you don't design it. God designs it. Is it biblical? It's not all fanatic speaking tongues. Some people really know what they're doing.